You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. In June of 2017, Southern Baptists will gather in Phoenix for the annual SBC meeting, and those dates are June 11th and 12th. During the days that precede that, the annual Pastors Conference will take place, which is a popular time of inspiring messages and music where pastors gather and get challenged to take the gospel to the nations. And just recently, it was announced that Brad Graves, who is senior pastor at First Baptist Church of Ada, has been nominated for president of the SBC Pastors Conference, and he joins us in this edition of Messenger Insight. Pastor Brad, welcome.
Hey, Brian. Thank you for having me on.
Well, that's exciting news to hear of your nomination and the vote that will take place regarding that. For Baptist Messenger listeners, they might have heard recently what God did during the Ada Awakening. And I thought we could begin by you reiterating some of what you saw God do there, and then also tell us a little bit about your background.
I've been here. We came to Ada, Oklahoma in June of 2016, started June 1st. And this is one of those legacy churches where it has amazing pastors. But anytime a church goes to that, there's not just decline numerically, but emotionally and other ways too. And so that's kind of what you walk into when you walk into a church that the pastor has been vacant for a while. And so the people need to be encouraged, and God just quickly brought some encouragement. But we just sensed that God was going to do something more than just encourage the people. So beginning of this year, we did what we call Cleansing the Temple. And Brian, we took 300 people from our church, and we read the entire Bible in 6 days, from midnight on Sunday night to midnight on Saturday night. And we did it from one Bible in the podium on the pulpit, turned all the lights off, had some stations to repent and get right with the Lord. And then we just did it 24 hours a day, 6 days a week, Genesis to Revelation. And that really did something for us. We kind of cleansed the temple going off Ezra and Nehemiah when they read the Word of God, but it cleansed the hearts of these people. And then from that, about 105 people went through a 21-day fast, praying and fasting for revival. And then we brought in an evangelist, Ken Freeman, a friend of mine who I've known for 20 years. I was actually saved at a Ken Freeman revival back in 1992. And he was just a harvester. And our people were prayed up. They were ready for it. They were encouraged. They were ready for the next season. And God just answered those prayers. And it wasn't just that we had salvations. We had over 200 salvations in that, seven-day period of time. That was beautiful, but it was more than that. People kept getting saved every week, and every week since we've had people come to faith in Christ, from kids up. Right now, we're baptized right at 105 people since that time, and it's transformed our church. Our people are expecting God to do things. We have Bible studies that started from that, and these discipleship pocket groups all across our campus, not just our campus, and our homes and other places. So we have little discipleship pockets that are happening everywhere. We have prayer meetings that have started from that, that meet every week. We have on-campus Bible clubs that have started at some of our college, our high school campuses that started birth through that week. It was just a phenomenal time. It was a phenomenal week. I mean, we were in all these local schools. Our students got on board. Our students were able to start things. Our students were able to make announcements. We had entire teachers shutting down the class and inviting kids to come. It was just a powerful time. God just really sat down in our town. And other churches came. We had a huge crowd that Wednesday night. So that's what's happened since then. I think it's kind of changed our spiritual landscape, which is what we were praying for. Because our churches, there's a network that works together a little bit tighter now. Some of us are closer friends now. But there's trust that's been built up. And so now we're talking about what we can do next, how we can do this together, and since the revival is happening. So that's what's happened here with the Ada Awakening the last, 2 months now. It's crazy, isn't it?
Wow, what a blessing and outpouring for the Lord, and it just is so encouraging to hear what's taken place even since we talked in the days following. Now, Pastor Brad, you've served in a number of capacities, and could you tell us about your journey and your ministry and a little bit about your family as well?
Brian, I got saved April 1st, 1992, at what was called the First Baptist Church of Springdale, which is now Cross Church, Northwest Arkansas. Ronnie Floyd's the pastor. I got saved in April, and by that January, I was on staff at the church. February 1st, I started on staff as an intern, and I haven't looked back. I was intern there for a few years, going to the University of Arkansas, and then I transferred into Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And there, listening to guys like Jerry Falwell preach about how he started Thomas Road, and just going to church planning class, just had a tug in my heart to plant a church. Went to New Hampshire, planted a church, was there 6 years. God blessed, it grew. We helped start three other churches. NAM reached out to me to ask me to teach basic training for church planners. So we started teaching basic training. We coached a lot of church planners in all of New England for the 6 years we were there. And then NAM asked me to come on staff and be the director of church planning for Cleveland Hope, which was Strategic Focus City, which is a precursor to Sin City. So we spent a little bit over a year and a half in Cleveland, Ohio, planting churches, raising money, had a lot of church support from a lot of large churches. We saw a lot of great things happen, still have a lot of great contacts up there. But it's during that time that we did a 40-day fast. Well, I did a 40-day fast about where we're going to go, what God's going to call us to do. We felt, called to plant a church again on the West Coast. So now I am from Arkansas, going to the seminary in North Carolina, planting a church in New England. Now I'm in Ohio. I feel called to plant a church in Southern California because of a 40-day fast. I call my pastor, Ronnie Floyd. He asked me to come help him out for a year to launch a new campus, so I did. And then we raised support, go to San Diego, and we plant Cross Church San Diego. We're there 3.5 years. Helped start some other churches. There I met the guys from North Coast Church, Sticky Teams, and I started teaching at their conferences on church planning and fundraising. God just blessed the network. It grew again. And then something happened, though, Brian, right before we left for San Diego, and you don't even know this part. We lost our daughter who was stillborn. My wife was full-term pregnant, and our daughter passed away right before we left. We literally set the headstone. We went from my brother's house, set the headstone to the airport. I mean, it was that raw. It was that quick. And so we go to San Diego, we plant the church, and we're still kind of just wooing from our own pain. And about 3.5 years later, we felt we needed to come back closer. So we go to Missouri to a church that's called the Revitalization. We kind of restarted the church, redid the bylaws, redid the constitution, replanted the church inside the same building. We're there 1 month in the tornado. It's Joplin, May 2011. This wipes out our town. And that just kind of helps us restart everything again. So we go in disaster relief mode, and God just blessed that church. And we saw a lot of people saved, and we saw a lot of good help rebuild that community. So that's what brought us all the way up to this past year. The First Baptist Aider reached out to me and asked me to come and be their pastor. And just so overwhelmingly that we were supposed to do that. So that is a long story, but, man, we're blessed. God's done a lot, even through the deep waters and the shallow waters. You know, we've seen God's hand, and we try to follow it everywhere we go. So I've been married 20 years to Becky Graves. I met her at seminary. I have twin boys, Nate and Noah. They graduate in 15 days, and I am scared to death of that. Here from Ada. They're both going to the ministry. One of them works at Falls Creek this summer. And the other one's going to Phoenix all summer to work at a church plant. So they're both ministry-bound. I have a 7-year-old named Levi, who's in first grade, and a 15-month-old named Gracie, who is beautiful, and my daughter is perfect.
Amen. Thank you for sharing that. And I admire so much how God helps you overcome these tragic life circumstances. I mean, thinking of your family and your daughter, thinking of that devastating tornado, and yet the hand of God was with you the whole way, and now he has you here pastoring in Oklahoma, and now a nominee to be pastor's conference president. Could you talk a little bit about what would make you willing to serve in that kind of capacity, and what you might hope the Lord would do through something like this?
Well, you know, I was asked to do another office in the convention, and which is a lot less stressful, just didn't take as much work, and that was an easy yes. And then someone brought this idea up, and so I really need to pray about that because I know what it entails. I know the importance of this conference. I know the caliber of leadership it's going to take to execute this conference, from not just the financial side, to the spiritual aspect of it. And after what God did here in February, we really felt it was the Lord setting us up and saying, you know, what we did there in your church, what we did in Ada, Oklahoma, what God did with us through the tornado in Joplin, Missouri, and what God did with us as we're planting churches in either the Southwest and San Diego or in the Northeast in New Hampshire, and what God did with us through losing our child, and my wife started ministry and support groups out of that, that we realized, you know, our greatest need, Brian, in our convention right now, is literally the manifested presence of God in every area of our convention. And to say it this way, every town doesn't need a small church or a big church. Every town doesn't need a young pastor or an old pastor. But every town deserves to have a church where God is at work. And every Southern Baptist church deserves to have a pastor where God is at work in their life, regardless of their theological persuasion, regardless of their age or any other tribe that they can attribute themselves to. Every Southern Baptist church deserves to have a pastor where God's doing something fresh in their life because they're calling out to God. And every town deserves to have a church, large or small, ages of pastors, irregardless, but where God is doing something in that church to help engage that town in revival. And so we saw this as a platform that all these crazy things that God has allowed us to do over the years and all the places he's taken us and all the things he's exposed us to was given a spectrum, helping us to see God at work in the mission field and pioneer areas, working for NAM, and on staff in a mega church like Cross Church or pastoring a small church. Or, you know, leading now a very healthy church in Oklahoma. That what God did was to set us up and prepare us and for something like this where we can take these experiences and challenge these pastors who literally come from a variety of different backgrounds to see and search for God's presence. So that's kind of our platform. Our greatest need is definitely kind of our tagline, to see God move in our lives, to see the manifested presence of God in every area of our life. And we just, you know, Brian, if God can do it here in Ada, and if God can do it in Joplin after a tornado, and if we can see God to work in a church plant in New England and San Diego, and if God can do it with a pastor and a pastor's wife who's bawling their eyes out because they buried their daughter, then God can use anyone, and God can do it anywhere. So it's an encouragement factor. It's also a challenge factor. But more than that, it's a calling out to God factor from pastors all across the convention next summer in December, June 18th in Dallas, Texas.
Amen. Well, we'll sure be praying with you on this. We've been talking to Brad Graves, who serves as pastor of Ada's First Baptist Church and who will be nominated for president of the SBC Pastors Conference during the Phoenix Convention in June, and then the 2018 meeting, as Pastor Brad alluded to, will happen in Dallas, Texas. Pastor Brad, thank you for taking some time on Messenger Insight to share from your heart what God's done in your life and about how you see the strategic importance of this event and this role. So thank you. Blessings to you and everything you're doing, and we'll follow your progress and be praying with you on this. Blessings to you.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate all you do, brother.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.